The Word of Life Church, let them know how glad you are to see them here. That's right. We are thrilled to have you here. We say it all the time, but we mean it. And what you mean, you should say a lot, but there are so many great churches in the Jackson metro area that you could choose to worship at. We're just honored and delighted that you've chosen to worship here with us this morning, whether you're a lifetime member or just passing through or just checking us out to see what we're all about. If this is your 100th time here or your first time and you don't ever plan on being back, just know that we are glad that you are here. We really do just count it a privilege to lead you into worship and to hopefully lead you into a deeper devotion to the Lord. You know what, I had it big in my heart when I was praying there, but I think you know this, that at the end of the day, there's nothing more important than the quality of your relationships. Amen. How many of you know that to be true? You could have the whole world with a white picket fence around it, but if your key relationships are strained, it won't mean a thing to you. I mean, it won't mean a thing to you. And so whenever those relationships are strained, do whatever it takes to bring love and peace back. Fight for love. I'd rather fight for people than fight with people. Amen. Come on now, I'm preaching better than you're responding. No, it's the early service. Maybe in about 10 minutes that coffee you were drinking this morning will kick in. No, isn't that right? You can fight with people or you can fight for people. And God is always he's always trying to inspire your heart to fight for people. And the enemy is always trying to attack your mind to try to get you to fight with people. And you have to choose which one you're going to follow, which one you're going to obey. And can I tell you that if you'll follow the Lord, not just in that matter, but in any matter, you'll see a great life manifest before you. But you got to be willing to fight for people. And sometimes fighting for people means being willing to say, I'm sorry, even if you think you're right. Come on now. It means being the first one to say, I'm sorry, the first one to lay down their arms. Only in Christ is victory found in surrender. Only in the things of God can victory be found in surrender. And everything else, you have to fight for victory. You know, if you're out there on a football field, you got to fight for victory. If you're out there on a battlefield, you got to fight for victory. But in the things of God, victory is only found in surrender. When you retire from your will and pick up the will of God and pick up the will of another. And so just surrender trying to win and just let them win. Even if they think they're wrong, just let them win. And you'll see that peace and joy comes back into that household. And I'd rather have peace than be right. Come on now, I'd rather have peace than be right. I'd rather have peace in my home than to prove my point. You may prove your point, but if no one likes you in the house, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, if no one likes you, it doesn't matter. So just be a peaceful, loving, and think a person and think in terms of restoration. Open up your Bibles. All that was for free. It's just a little appetizer. Open up your Bible to Romans chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our happy ushers will be in the aisles, ready and willing to give you a Bible. We want to teach you the Word of God. And so if you'd like a Bible, we'd be thrilled to give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, you can take that one home with you. And of course, feel free to use a portable electronic device. Romans chapter 12 in your Bibles. On the screens, if you can go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. In the Amplified. On the screens, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, in the Amplified. In your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. We started a new series last week entitled Sharpening the Saw. We talked about the importance of rest, and we said that you need to rest, you need to rebalance, and you need to renew. That all throughout the Word of God, it instructs us to rest and rebalance and renew and restore and all of those types of wonderful words. And I pray you were able to find some time to do that this week, to rest and rebalance. But I want to talk this Sunday about sharpening your gift and your talent. sharpening your gift, and I'll use three words, your gift, your talent, and your ability. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 in the Amplified, if you can pull that up for me, on the screens right about, there we go. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 in the Amplified. This is a common verse of Scripture that is bound to edify you. When you read this, you are going to leave edified. Watch this in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. It says, if anyone fails to provide for his relatives, and especially for those of his own family. I told you, you're going to be edified. He has disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits and is worse than an unbeliever who performs his obligation in these matters. Wow. Now, let's read this again. If anyone fails to, this is the key word, provide for his relatives and especially for those of his own family, he has disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits. Now, that's a very strong scripture. We could close right here and you're bound to go home happy. I mean, that's a strong, strong scripture. And I know many preachers have used that to beat people up and make them feel bad for not providing for their families. That is not my intent. My intent with this scripture is to show you it's actually a good thing. That this scripture is in the Bible is actually a good thing. And here's why. If God has called you to provide for your family, and here it even goes beyond your household, but even to other relatives, to be able to be a source of provision to them as well, that with every command God gives, He builds within it the grace to fulfill it. If I told my son, go mow the grass, go outside and go mow the grass, he would look at me and say, well, where's the lawnmower? I would have to give him the resources to mow the grass. The lawnmower, it needs gas. Well, where is the gas? It's my job to provide the gas. If I am issuing him a command, I have to make sure he has the ability to fulfill that command first. Does that make sense? For this scripture, he says, I desire for you, this is God talking to us, for you to be able to provide not only for yourself, but also for your family. For you to be able to have provision for yourself and for your family. God is a father. Get this. And I know this is one of the major pillars this church is built upon. God is a father. And if you have kids, you know what it's like to be a father or a mother, to be a parent. And you know that with those kids, you desire to see their needs met. And it hurts you when their needs are not being met. Not only do you desire to see their needs met, but I guarantee you there are times in your kid's life where you not only met their needs, but you also satisfied their wants. You satisfied their desires. Why? Because you love them. You love your kids. And a bedrock upon which this church is built is there is no way in the world that I am a better father than God is. There is no way in the world you're a better parent than God is. What you long to see in your kids' life, God longs to see in your life. And God longs to see you have more than enough in every arena of your life. He doesn't want you selfish or covetousness, just like you want your kids to share. He doesn't want you loving things and possessions, just like you don't want your kids holding on to something and not wanting to give it away. No, God is very interested in you living a balanced life, but God is also very interested in you being provided for. I was in a little cafe Thursday. And sometimes I like to break out of the box a little bit and go to a place that is a little bit more relaxed than an office setting and pull out my laptop and some books and study there. And so I went to this little cafe in between breakfast and lunchtime Thursday morning. And I pull out my laptop, having a great study time. And it's funny because I was actually looking for a story. I always like to preach with stories. Jesus preached with stories because people remember stories. And so I was trying to find a story to kind of illustrate this point. And lo and behold, one manifested right before me. I mean, right before me. I'm sitting at this booth, and the manager of the restaurant comes and sits down about 10 feet in front of me. Now, the place is pretty empty because they're in between their breakfast crowd and their lunch crowd. And there's a TV right above me that I didn't realize it was there until the manager turned it up really loud to watch SportsCenter. And so with this, he suddenly turns the TV down when he looks at his watch, and an employee walks up and sits by him, sits down like I'm sitting down now at the table. And when she sits down, the guy, the manager, speaks up and says, "I can't believe you're asking for this," with that tone. Now, I'm not trying. I want to say this on the front end. I am not trying to be nosy or listen in on anyone's conversation. I wasn't. The floors were concrete. The sound was resonating. I was trying to read my Bible. He said, "I can't believe you're asking for this." And come to find out, what she was asking for was more money. And he said, "We're paying you right now $14 an hour. $14 an hour. I don't know how much she was asking for. I didn't hear that part of it. But we're paying you $14 an hour." And he says, "I could get someone tomorrow for $8.50 an hour." That's what he told her. And so, but she goes right back at him. "Well, you could get someone to find $8.50 an hour to fill my job tomorrow, but they wouldn't do this and they wouldn't do this." And he said, I know. That's why I'm paying you $14 an hour. And then he says, "I know this is illegal." And I'm like, okay, let me put up my Bible. Let me do something. And he says, "I know this is illegal," but he starts showing her what the other people she works with make. And starts showing her the figure. "See, you make more than so-and-so. They may have told you they make more, but you make more than so-and-so." But the whole deal while I'm watching it is her point was, is what I am earning right now is not enough to provide for my family. And his point was, if we pay you any more than what we're paying you, we're not going to have enough to provide for everyone else at this restaurant. And as I was overhearing this play out, the Lord really dealt with me that many people live this way. Now, this message is targeted towards everyone in here like every message is. But it's particularly targeted towards those who are struggling in this arena. Now, let me just say this on the front end. I know that a lot of people struggle financially just simply because of poor financial management. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to get in a Dave Ramsey program or something like that when we set up small groups in September. Get in resources like that. Do whatever it takes to balance your finances in a way that brings glory to God. We are stewards of the resources He gives us. Our monies, our possessions, they're not ours, they're His, and we need to know how to manage those things properly. But I want to encourage you also that you can provide. That you can see provision. And when people think of provision, they think of oftentimes God doing something for them. And there are cases in Scripture where God does something for people to bring provision. Especially in times of dramatic need, God works miracles to bring provision to the lives of individuals. But more than God doing something for people, you see all throughout Scripture, God doing something through people, through what the Bible terms the work of their hands. God's all about work. He's all about work. And God has ordained that through the work of your hands, you see produce. For Abraham, Abraham was a herdsman. He had a bunch of cattle and livestock. God worked through his hands to bless that arena of his life. For Isaac was a farmer. God worked through his hands for Isaac to see provision in that area. For Joseph was a manager, and God worked through the work of his hands and blessed him through his management. All throughout the book of Proverbs, which is God's success book to us, I encourage you to read Proverbs daily. You can read one a day, and it would be an incredible benefit to you. But all throughout Proverbs, it talks about avoiding trying to get rich quick. Don't try to get rich quick. It says it over and over and over and over again. Don't be hasty for riches. Instead, be diligent. Instead, be faithful. Now, this is what I want to get at. With everyone in this room, God has given you something. He's given you a gift. He's given you a talent. He's given you an ability. Now, some of you have more than one. God bless you, whoever you are, God bless you. But some of you are multi-talented, multi-gifted. And God has given you that gift for two reasons. And don't ever forget these two reasons. And don't ever get them out of order, because they're in this order for a reason. God's given you a gift, number one, to serve your fellow man. To serve your fellow man. And I'll put it this way. To add value to the lives of people. God's given you a gift. And the first reason why He's given you that gift is to serve your fellow man. You see an interconnectedness throughout Scripture, that no man is an island to himself, that every joint in the body of Christ is to yield a supply, that God is doing something through you for the benefit of someone else. Your gift allows you to serve your fellow man in special dynamic ways. Think of all the gifts that have already served you this morning. If you made toast this morning, chances are someone baked that toast and cut that toast and packaged it for you. If you put jelly on that toast, someone used their gift to make that jelly, to package that jelly. Then someone used their gift to stock that jelly and for you to check out that jelly. Someone used their gift there. All around us, people are serving us with their gifts. And that's the beauty of church, is here you get to use your gift for free. Is that you genuinely tap into the origin and the reason why God gave you a gift in the first place, and that's to enrich the lives of your fellow men. With my gift, with teaching and preaching and things like that, I do it to enrich the lives of my fellow man. I want to add value to your life. I want to make your life significantly better, that if I was missing, there would be a void in your life somewhere. That's what I want. I want my gift to serve you. I want my gift to bless you. That's why God gave me this gift. For you, God has given you a gift, and that gift He gave you is to add value to this world. The world calls it customer service, and they know that with customer service, you are to use your gift to serve people. That's why people like Chick-fil-A, when you go through the checkout line at Chick-fil-A, what do they say? How may I serve you? And they built that culture into their workplace, and that is one of the reasons why it's so successful, is they know that you are not just there for them, but they are actually there for you. And they've built a culture within that workplace that adds value to their community, that adds value to their fellow man, and that enables you to do number two. Your gift not only enables you to add value to your fellow man, but it also enables you to earn a living. God gave you your gift to add value to the lives of your fellow man, to serve your fellow man, and to earn you a living. God gave you these gifts for that reason. Let's look in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's look here in verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have, now this is important, let's read it real slow. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And let's just stop right there. He's using, as Paul does this a good bit in his writings, he's using the body of Christ and using it as symbolic of our own body, or rather our own body being symbolic of the body of Christ. Now, he says here in the scripture that there are many members of your body, right? You've got fingers, you've got toes, you've got feet, you've got livers, pancreas, lungs, heart, brain. Most of you, no, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Let's just see if you're awake. I'm joking. But with this, God has given you different members, right? There are different members in your body. And he says that each one of these members serve a different function. They serve a different office. Your hands can do things that your feet can't do. But your feet can do things that your hands can't do. Your nose can do something that your ears can't do. And your ears can do something that your nose can't do. Your mouth can do something that your eyes can't do, but your eyes can do something that your mouth can't do. That there are different members in your body, and they all serve a different function. Now, let me ask you this. If your nose said, you know what, I don't want to be a nose. I want to be an ear. That's what I want to be. I want to be an ear. He could go to ear school, ear university. He could get an earring, and some people have tried that. No, I'm kidding. He could get a PhD in hearing and still never be a good ear. Why? Because God built him and God designed him to be a nose. And the place where his gift is going to add more value is in that place versus in trying to be in another place. When you add value to mankind, people pay for value. The question should never be, how can I make more money? That should never be your question. Your question should be, how can I add more value to my fellow man? Through adding value through my fellow man, and you'll never add more value than through your gift. Never, never. A nose will never be more valuable to you than with smelling. It could try to hear all day long, but it's not going to ever be effective in that area because its value is found in the design that God gave it. And that's a particular grace to perform a function of smelling. Now, he says that just as your body has many members and all different offices, all different gifts with those members, notice what he says here in verse 5. So we, let's read verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, hands, fingers, all that kind of thing, and all members have not the same office, they don't all have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. We're all different parts. We're all different members. Now watch this in verse 6. This is the big part. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. This is huge. Let's read it real slow. We having then gifts, what do we have? All of us have what? Gifts differing. My gift is different than your gift. Your gift is different than my gift. He talks about in 1 Corinthians that if everybody's the eye, where would the hearing be? And if everyone was the ear, where would the smelling be? We're all different for a reason to serve each other. And he says here, having then gifts differing according to the what? The grace that is given unto us. With my gift comes my grace. And my gift is different than your gift. Therefore, my grace is different than your grace. You have a gift on your life, and that gift has graced you to perform a particular function. And you could try to do different things your whole life, but you're never going to be fulfilled until you work with your gift. Your gift is your sweet spot. Your gift is the place where your grace is. And God doesn't just bless you in that place. That place is already blessed. Your gift is a blessing to you. It's different than mine, and mine is different than yours. We're all wired differently. In fact, God believes in apprenticeship. All throughout Scripture, you see apprenticeship. And with this, even in your past, you saw things that I didn't see. You were around things that I weren't around. And all of those things, God is trying to use those to build your gift, to bring out your gift, your ability, your calling. Why? Because he needs you to serve your fellow man in that area. But with that gift, it also enables you to earn a living, to see produce. Now, here's my question. What's your gift? What's your gift? Are you working within the grace that God has given you? Because in that place, you've got a greater chance to add value. And you've also got a greater chance to earn a living than in any other place. What's your grace? I've met some people, you can tell. I mean, even as kids, I knew them. And you can tell, man, they're salesmen. Their personality, it's just wired. And when they come in a room, they light it up. They could sell ice to an Eskimo at five. I mean, just talk their parents into things. I mean, just amazing. Whereas myself, I always admired that because I was always very shy. I'm still to this day shy. I mean, you wouldn't think so, but I am shy. Like Thursday night, I had some people come over to my house, and I was shy. I was nervous. And I'm their pastor, but I'm nervous. And I went, would I say this right? We need to have this. I mean, because I'm shy. By nature, if you get me on one-on-one, I'll sometimes fumble over words and things like that because I'm shy by nature. But these people, they light up. They're gifted there. Their grace is different there. I see other people who they can sit in a back room and program things. I mean, just program things and don't need any interaction with people. In fact, they're like vampires. They like it dark. And when a light creeps in and someone walks in, I mean, it's like, ah! I mean, they're just wired differently. It's a different grace. It's a different gift. What's your grace? What's your gift? What are you wired for? Someone asked me last night, because I don't want to end with this, I want to end with something else. But someone asked me last night, well, how do you find it? How do you find your gift? I guess the only way that I can really think of it, and I know that there are personality profiles, and you should check some of those things out, Strength Finder book, that's a book that could maybe help you find your gift, that type of thing. But what is your heart impressed by? That's one of the things I look for in a gift. I always thought growing up, I'd like to be this, I'd like to be that. Whenever I'd see someone preach with excellence, oh, my heart would always be impressed by it. Just even as a little kid, when I didn't want to have anything to do with preaching, I'd sit back and marvel at people. Good night. My heart was impressed by it. What's your heart impressed by? I talked to a guy last night. He said, man, you know what? I've always wanted to be a barber. I've always wanted to own my own barber shop. What's your heart impressed by? What irritates you when it's not done right? That could be another. But either way, you have to find your gift. Ultimately, I believe the only way to find it is to talk to the person who made you. You've got a maker who designed you, so if you talk to him, he'll show you. But here's what I want to get at to kind of wrap up this sermon. Is we all have a gift. Number one, we need to find it. Number two, it'd be a good idea to work with it because you're never going to add more value and you're never going to earn a better living than by working with your grace. But number three, when you work, work with excellence. When you use your gift with excellence. Your gift is different than mine, and I need your gift. I need your gift. You need my gift. And too often today, I think even in the church world, we are trying to get out of as much work as possible. But I'm telling you, God didn't call you to stop working. He said if you stop working, you should stop eating. God has called you to serve your fellow man. He's called your life to not just sit back in the shadows on a beach or watching TV. He's called you, and nothing wrong with that. We need time of rebalancing and resting like we talked last week. But this is the other side of this. work matters to God. Because it's not just a way for Him to provide for you. It's a way for you to add value to your fellow man. We'll close with it. Go over to Colossians. If you're in Romans, just keep turning to the right and you will bump into Colossians. And on the screens, if you can pull up Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, and we'll close with this. Colossians in your Bibles. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. On the screens. God has given me and you a gift. Colossians chapter 3. And let's look here in verse 17. We'll close with this. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, then word with speaking or deed by action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now notice this. He's about to talk about some relationships. And he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now let me ask you this. How many of you think that those things are important to God? Right? Husbands loving your wives, wives honoring your husbands, parents loving their children, children honoring their parents. These things count. But there's a relationship that most people don't ever talk about. And Paul actually talks about this relationship more than he talks about the relationship between a husband or a wife, or a relationship between a parent and a child. And what he talks about in this relationship, it's not preached in churches. And this is why a lot of times church people fail to see God's provision come into their life. He talks about, and he's getting ready to talk about it here, your relationship with work. And that just as your relationship with your wife is important, and just as your relationship with your kids is important, and just as your relationship with your husband is important, your relationship with work is that important. And watch what he says here in verse, where were we? I lost my place. 22. Servants, this would be employees, obey in all things your masters, employers, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, that means with all you've got, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. What's he talking about? He's not just talking about in prayer. He's talking about when you work, you do your work as unto the Lord, and that you actually treat the Lord as your boss and not the guy who's over you. In verse 25, he said, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done, for God is not a respecter of persons. God says, if I'm right on the job, there's a reward. If I'm wrong on the job, there's a reward for that too. And God's not a respecter of persons. This works for everyone. Now, when you, and hopefully all of you are working in and with your gift, but just in case you're not, and I think there may be some people who say, I know what I'm doing right now, I'm not gifted to do. But either way, when you work, how are you and I to work? As unto the Lord Jesus. Treating our work as though we're doing it for the Lord. Now here's the thing, God says, when you work like that, I will reward you. When you work like that, there is promotion that comes, and you see it all throughout Scripture. Joseph, we're going to look at a Scripture here about Daniel in Matthew chapter 25, where God gives out the talents. To one he gave one, to another two, to another one five, each one severally according to their ability. The one who went out and worked turned the five into the ten. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, now you shall be a rewarder of much. Two to four, same thing. But the one who had one, nothing. Nothing. He did nothing with it. No work with it whatsoever. And the Lord took it away. And Jesus said, this is how the kingdom works. Do you want to know how increase happens within the lives of people? This is how the kingdom works. What do you do with what you have? On your job right now, you are to work with excellence. Wherever you find, even if you've got an employer who's not a good guy, you do your work as unto the Lord, treating him like he is our boss. Now, here's the thing. If God's your boss, he's always in the room, right? I mean, he's always in the office. He's always in the break room. He's always behind the counter. He's always in the kitchen. God sees everything. And when he sees, does he see me working with my gift with excellence? Notice the scripture in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above presidents and princes. Oh, this is us. I confess this scripture over my kids. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Why is he seeing promotion? Why is he seeing preferred treatment? Why is he being placed over things? There's an excellent spirit in him. An excellent spirit. My father preached a message years ago entitled Excellence, Living Too High for Capture. An excellent spirit. Now, when I work, whether I'm working with my gift or when I'm not, how am I to work with it as unto the Lord? And when I work as unto the Lord, it's bound to raise my standards. And my standard for my work just became one thing, excellence. Years ago, I was preaching, and man, I wasn't very good. I mean, I was not very good at all. I came home from preaching after one particular service, and I was still living in the house that I lived in growing up. And my father had an office in that house and had a beautiful office. And I came and sit down in the chair, and the chair faced the desk, and there were cabinets behind the desk loaded with books and his sermons and tapes and all of these other things. And I thought, dear Lord Jesus, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I was kind of blaming him, like, where is the fruit of all of this? Because here's my thinking, is the Lord impressed upon my heart that I was going to be the next pastor of the church and that I would do what my father did. But here I inherit the same thing my father's had to work with, the same facility, the same building, the same staff, the same equipment. And he was pastoring at 1,000 members, and under my exceptional leadership, it went down to 400. So the only variable, same facility, same staff, same resources, the only variable is yours truly. And I'm sitting in this seat. What is wrong with this? I know I'm called to do this. I know I heard from God to do this. Why am I not seeing production? Why am I not seeing like I'm serving my fellow man well? And the answer goes back to this. I was not working with excellence. Now, a lot of it was I didn't know how. But in that seat, I sat there and had an epiphany. And my epiphany was this. My aha moment was this. Is my father didn't start out pastoring 1,000 people. My father and mother, they didn't start out with this facility. They didn't start out with this building. They didn't start out with all those people. They started out very small. My father was an uneducated man. But I looked up from that seat. And I saw all these books. And I thumbed through them and I saw he didn't just read the books. He wrote a book in the books. And I looked at all these sermons that he preached, and they were all handwritten with the most beautiful handwriting you could imagine. Just line upon line. And I thought, when we took vacations, we went to places like Tulsa and sat in seminars and conferences. And then I looked at the people who spoke into his life, and they were not people who made him comfortable. They were people who inspired him to grow. Your best friend should be bringing out the best in you. And they inspired my parents to grow. And as they grew, the church grew. Matthew 25, I encourage you to read it when you get home. Jesus is handing out the talents. Well, how do you give some more than others? He gave to every man, the scripture says, severally according to their ability. He gave to them according to their ability to handle it. If I want more from God, it's not a matter of asking Him for more. It's showing Him I can handle more. How can I handle more? I work with my gift with excellence. And I made a decision right there. You know what? Every one of these books I'm going to read. When I do a message, I'm never just going to regurgitate material. I'm going to type it out and then I'm going to memorize it. So I never have to look at my notes unless I want to. And when I work, I'm going to get up there. And I used to get up there with just four scriptures. That was the bulk of my... Four scriptures. There are bound to be something good in these. Just four scriptures. And man, at that time of 400, I was praying for 1,000 people. Lord, give me 1,000 people. You know what? I couldn't handle it. I couldn't have handled 1,000 people at that time. My ability wasn't at that level. I had the gift, but I wasn't using the gift with excellence. Now, I want to encourage everyone in here, find your gift. Find your gift. But whatever you do, work with excellence. If you sweep, sweep with excellence. If you make coffee, make it with excellence. If you clean homes, clean them with excellence. If you teach, teach with excellence. If you preach, preach with excellence. If you pray, pray with excellence. If you're a mother, mother with excellence. Oh, we need excellent mothers. We need excellent fathers. If you paint, paint with excellence. If you cut grass with excellence. If you check people out, dear Lord Jesus, if you check people out with excellence. If you wait on people with excellence. Christians ought to be the best employers and the best employees in all the world. Amen. Because we are not working just for a paycheck. We are working as unto the Lord. And you're going to see if you do this, start with what you have. When you do this, the Lord's going to do for you the same thing He did for Daniel. He rewards you according to your labors. And Daniel was held captive. His kingdom was taken over and he started out as a slave but wound up preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him. And friends, I want to encourage you. Let excellence be your standard. Serve your fellow man with excellence. Add value to them and you'll see God take care of you with provision. Every head bowed, every eye closed.